Stories That Need to Be Told is a podcast series produced by Roosevelt High School students and Jack Straw Cultural Center in Seattle, Washington. As part of a final project in their Advanced Placement English Language and Composition class, students investigated, interviewed, and reflected on aspects of life they felt deserved more attention.
This podcast was sponsored by Seattle Foodies Underscore, bringing you the best food reviews from the Northwest. Our podcast was made from contributions to this podcasting station by viewers like you. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Salmon Spiel. Today, we're going to be talking to Roosevelt's own Tracy Lanbeau, a science teacher who's been teaching for 11 years, about the problems and solutions concerning salmon populations in the Pacific Northwest. Lanbeau teaches biology, geology, and ecology.
The pressing issue of the depleting salmon population is becoming an increasingly important topic that has greatly impacted the area we live in, the Pacific Northwest.
Salmon have a big presence in the Pacific Northwest. There are five major species that call this region's rivers home. They are also very interconnected into multiple ecosystems.
Salmon are a keystone species, particularly important here where we live, in the Northwest, in a place called the Salish Sea. So salmon are supporting hundreds of other species, including people.
Salmon aren't just connected to nature. They're also deeply embedded in native lifestyle.
And a lot of our indigenous people here are people of the salmon, and it's a major food source, cultural source, and they actually consider themselves related directly to the salmon, which makes logical sense because they support like over 130 different species, which includes humans as well, and makes them extremely important for ecological reasons and from human perspective, cultural reasons. But we are part of the ecology, and Native people understand that.
For the indigenous people, when we protect salmon, we honor millennia worth of indigenous cultures that have evolved alongside the salmon. Salmon is seen as a symbol to rally around. They play an integral part of tribal religion, culture, and physical sustenance for not only indigenous people, but non-indigenous Seattleites as well. For example, over a dozen longhouses and churches on reservations and in ceded areas still use salmon for their religious services. Also, the annual salmon return and its celebration by the tribes assure the renewal and continuation of human and all other life.
From a non-indigenous Western perspective, if you're just thinking about salmon as only a food source, they're important because they actually support the entire ecology here. There's over 100, and they say, over 136 different species, which are supported directly by salmon. So as the salmon go away, all those other species are affected, from trees to plants to everything that lives in the soil to all the animals that depend upon that ecosystem. And we live here because of the ecosystem. When the ecosystem goes down, we're going to go down with it. So there's only so many places on Earth you can go to. This is one of the nicest places on Earth. And so for all those reasons, it's really important.
The problems concerning salmon are primarily around a loss of culture and lifestyle. Another issue is the destruction of salmon spawning areas, which disrupts the salmon life cycle.
Salmon have to go through an extensive life cycle. The salmon starts off as an egg. A female salmon, on average, can lay 3,000 eggs, where only two will live to make it back to spawn. From there, they turn into alvin and try to survive in the stream from predators and natural dangers. The next stage is the fry, in which the salmon move away from their stream homes and journey further along the riverbed. As they grow, they eventually turn to smolts, where they travel to an estuary where freshwater and saltwater meet and prepare to start their life as an adult salmon. Adults live in the ocean, collecting nutrients from smaller ocean fish, and eventually travel back to the same stream where they're born in as spawners, and either fertilize eggs or release eggs and die.
You probably picked up from the last quote that a salmon's life cycle is very complicated. This whole process is made even more difficult by the addition of multiple problems and challenges, either brought on by nature or by humans.
It's a repeating pattern all across the globe where there's been salmon and where there's been people, except for Alaska. for the most part, in some places in Russia where there are few people, salmon are suffering or have gone extinct. And we have the same problem here. And there are a lot of reasons for it. Ultimately, it comes down to habitat destruction, where they're not able to get to the streams that they need to spawn and lay their eggs. They're blocked to getting to those streams, or those streams have been damaged in some way, so they're not able to complete their life cycle. And then there's also, you know, fishing too. But the bigger problem is really they can't replace themselves because they don't have access to the type of streams that they need to actually lay their eggs, make sure their eggs hatch, and then have the next generation of fish make it out to the ocean to come back.
With habitats and wild salmon stocks getting destroyed, there are still places with controlled hatcheries that set up a controlled environment for growing and maintaining a salmon population. However, this is not a foolproof solution to this problem, as Ms. Lambeau explains.
There's a lot of debate and about native fish versus hatchery fish versus what's actually out there, pros and cons. Native wild fish are fish that have completed their entire life cycle, made it back upstream, spawned, and, you know, come from that. And they are tougher fish because they've survived the full life cycle. So we would say they're fitter, as in survival of the fittest, because they've gone through the entire life cycle. And so protecting the native runs is of the utmost highest priority because they are the ones that are most likely going to be able to survive in the environment. Whereas a hatchery fish has been helped along the first several stages of its life cycle. And so whether those fish are actually going to have the traits they need to survive, you can question that. So there's that aspect to it, which is the reason why the native fish are the most important to try to keep. But we're losing fish. We don't have very many fish. Once you raise a fish, you know, from an egg and you get it through the first couple stages of life and you release it, and then if it could come back and spawn and lay its own eggs, then would its offspring be a native fish or would they be a hatchery fish? And so this is where it starts to get a little bit gray. And then at what point would you say that's a native fish or is that a hatchery fish? And so then it's really hard to talk about what's better, what's not. Meanwhile, we're losing fish.
This goes to show that our problems surrounding wild salmon loss will take a lot more to solve than what you would think. However, our state has taken steps to solve this problem, and there are many ways that you can help.
Things we could do, for instance, would be quit using chemicals in our products that then go down the drain and go right out into the Puget Sound where the fish are. Quit fertilizing our lawns and putting chemicals out there, which end up in the streams, killing the fish. We could pass better laws about development to try to protect stream habitat. People could volunteer at an environmental group and work on stream restoration, for instance, planting native plants alongside the streams. There's so many things that we could all do. All those things I mentioned are direct actions that people could do. In addition to that, you could educate yourself on the issue and you could vote for people who are going to support seeing salmon restoration.
If everyone made an effort toward the preservation of local streams and rivers, we would have a way better future for the Pacific Northwest, and we can rebuild our ecosystems to be like they once were. This has been today's edition of the Salmon Spiel. I'm Matthew, here with Hannah, Kenji, and Noah at the Jackstraw Podcasting Studios, signing off.
Stories That Need to Be Told is a podcast series produced by Roosevelt High School students and Jackstraw Cultural Center in Seattle, Washington. This segment was produced by Noah Whitehurst, Matthew Kellegrew, Hannah Pham, and Kenji Karskadin. Special thanks to Roosevelt High School teacher Carolyn Kenny Hall and to the Roosevelt High School Foundation for their support. Original music was created by Steve Griggs through the Jackstraw Artist Support Program. For more information, visit us at jackstraw.org or email us at education@jackstraw.org.